disobeyed you, you know. You try to train, teach your children, and I wonder sometimes the father looks down and, you know, sometimes we disappoint him, you know. We have great opportunity to please him when we do that which is good, that which is right. When we read his word, because when we're reading his word, we're listening to him. You don't read the Bible, you're not listening to God. I think it's a stark illustration, but I often, just to make a point, when you don't read your Bible, you're doing this to God. And yet he has so much to share. He tells of his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. And he gives us so much instruction, so much help in our life to do that which is good. And so we should want to please him. We should do that which is good and pleases him. And, you know, we're told in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy. God's a holy God, and he expects us to live clean, live holy. You know what messes us up? We fall to temptation. We fall to temptation. You say, well, I don't. Well, the Bible says you're lying, or you make God a liar, because, you know, if we say we have no sin, John told us, then we make him a liar. No, you're a sinner, and you'll do what you are. But we don't want to sin a lot. We want to sin a little, less and less. That's part of growing, maturing as a Christian. And in that process, we please the Father. We please God. Just as a child pleases mom or dad when they do right. So what are we going to do about temptation? You know, in football, you have on the field at any one time, you got both opposing teams. You got the offense and the defense. The offense gets the ball. They're going to try to score a touchdown. And the defense, their job is to what? Tackle the guy with the ball. Get him. Don't let him score. That's what makes it so fun to watch. Grown men acting like animals. Beating on one another. Running into one another. And I know this big thing right now in recent weeks, if you're not a sports enthusiast, you know, of concussions happening. They've always had concussions in football. Always. But big highlight right now, and they're trying, you know, be very, very careful about hurting the quarterback. And so anyways, that's a whole other matter. But the guy with the football, if you're defense, you want to tackle the football. Tackle the guy with the football. We should have the same fervor in tackling temptation. Knock it down. Get victory. Please God. Please the Father. In so doing, you bless your own life. So what are you going to do about temptation? Anybody here never tempted? We're all tempted. Amen? Varying degrees. Let me tell you, the devil, he may not know your thinking. He cannot read your thoughts. But he's had the benefit of watching you since your infanthood, all your life, and he knows where you mess up. He knows what your weaknesses are. So what temptations is he going to put before you? Well, it's not going to be the same temptations as before me. He knows my weaknesses. He's going to put those temptations before me, and he's going to put certain temptations before you, wherever we're weakest. But we want to please God. It doesn't please my Father in heaven when I do wrong, when I fall to the temptation. We need to have victory over temptation. I want to talk about temptation this morning. The Bible has much to say about it. Number one, let's start with the cause of temptation. What causes temptation? What's the source of temptation? Do you know there's a verse in Matthew 6 when Jesus shares a model for prayer? We call it the Lord's Prayer. In chapter 6, verse 13, it says this quite simply, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, who are you praying to? You're praying to God. You're praying that God don't lead me into temptation? Don't set any traps for me? To God? Does God lead us into temptation? Absolutely not. The scriptures make it abundantly clear. And James 1, verse 13, we read, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man.
No, you can't blame God for your temptations. God does try us, but he never tempts us to sin. It is a huge difference. God tries us to build us up, to strengthen us. The devil tempts us for failure. Temptation comes from the great tempter, the devil himself. Go to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we see when the tempter, the devil, in the form of a serpent, tempted Eve. Genesis 3, beginning at verse 1, we'll read 5 verses. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Well, there you go, questioning God. And that's what most of society who scoffs at God, most atheists, God this, God that, really, come on, you know, questioning, posing questions, trying to raise doubt. It's a tempter's ploy. Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree, fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it of it, neither shall you touch it. God never said that phrase. He threw that in. You know how we are as human beings. We toss in here and there. Lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God told you that. Come on. The process of tempting starts with raising doubt about God and the Word. But you're your own man. You're your own woman. You can make your own decisions. You have to do everything this book says, for crying out loud. Who does God think he is? He's God. He shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See? He's hiding stuff from you. The devil, the tempter, he's the one. He's the source. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, when Jesus was tempted, the Bible says then, when Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Who? The devil. God's not the source of temptation. The devil is. Verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. If. Always raising question, raising doubt, always having a ploy, always making something sound and look better than it really is. He was tempting Jesus. And the Bible says, who tempted him? He was tempted of the devil, verse 1, Matthew 4. Of the great tempter, the tempter, verse 3. The Bible clearly determines, identifies, where your temptations come from. The devil. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, we are given some truths. Verses 10 to 12 we'll read. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, that's also like the cunning devices, the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil is up here, the Satan, and he has all his army with all his lieutenants and whatnot. A mass army that seeks to tempt us to sin. And they got all the database on you. And they know how to attack, how to tempt you, how to make you fall. The devil is the source. Paul's concern for the brethren in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5 says this, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I couldn't hold off any longer, he said, I sent to know your faith. I want to know your maturity. Are you growing? Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. All that he put into time and effort in teaching them, giving them the gospel, and trying to raise them as Christians could have been all in vain. Why? If the tempter has been working it out, providing temptations and people are falling left and right. In truth, it is the devil who is the source of temptation. Mark it down. He's your enemy. He's not your helper. When a temptation comes, recognize this is not of God, this is of the devil. Jerry Mixon said, the devil tempts us to bring us down, but God tests us to bring us up. Huge difference. Huge difference. So the cause of temptation, the devil. Number two, the course of temptation. I mean, how does he work it all out? We know who it is. It's the tempter. It's Satan, the devil himself. He's behind it, see? But how does he do it? How does he work? The Bible gives us information on that too. The greatest tool that the devil uses is our lusts. Lust. That's not just confined to that desire for sexual things. Lust is something that's greatly desired. He plays on that, see? Man's desire for wealth, fame, sex, power, many other things. He plays on that. And by the way, he's been watching you all your life, and he knows what's important to you. And that's where he's going to tempt you, in your great strong desire for this or for that. That's his course. That's his plan, his mode of operation. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. John warns us here, gives us some instruction, some insight. Delineates what these lusts are. Beginning at verse 15, we're given this admonition, this warning. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, now he's going to delineate. He's not talking about not appreciating nature, creation, the sun, all the beauty. He's not talking about that as the world. About the worldly system, you see. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. This is the plan, the modus operandi of the devil, to tempt you and I to sin. He shall move in these areas. Turn, if you would, to Genesis 3 again, and remember how we read of the temptation provided by the devil for Eve there. Notice, if you would, verse 6, and we'll make this application of 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Notice now as we read Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Do you see? God has told us through John these various modes of operation, how the devil, the course of his strategy to tempt you. You'll appeal to your flesh, to your eyes, and your ego, your pride. For some of you, it's not a, you know, two of those things aren't very strong. But you'll fall into the third. Or you fall to two of them. Or you fall to three. All three. Mark it down, the devil's working. And the temptations will be just according to your need, your weaknesses. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Again, we talked about the cause of temptation. That's the devil. And in this course of temptation, how the devil works. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, we'll give a little more insight. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened. Well, if you know your Bible at all, that's a reference to he has made alive. To be quickened means to be made alive. You're given eternal life, new life. And you hath he quickened who were dead, were, past tense, dead in trespasses and sins. You didn't have a leg to stand on. You couldn't battle the devil's temptations before. Verse 2, wherein in time past, before, ye walked according to the course of this world, the course or operation, the strategy of the devil working, according to the prince of the power of the air. The devil was your guide. He led you around with all of your desires, this, that, whatever. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our behavior, our lifestyle before. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Before you were saved, you and I had no hope, man. We were messed up. But the temptations, we didn't leave this flesh when we got saved. Until the day we are called home, and our spirit is taken, our soul is taken out of this body, and that carcass is left down on the ground. That's where the sinfulness, the temptations come. The temptation will continue even though you're saved. If you're saved any length of time, you know that to be true. The devil's still working. Let me share this illustration for you. I believe I've shared this with you before, but I think it has great impact. When it comes to temptations, Jerry Kirk offers this. He says, I travel alone in my job a lot and stay in a lot of hotels with cable TV. I sometimes struggle whether to watch pornography while in the room. One time I was flipping through the channels to find the World Series. It's funny, it's going on right now. While flipping, I came across a channel with half-nude women. I flipped over to the baseball game. 10 minutes later, I flipped back to the movie. And then quickly back over to the World Series. I did that 4 or 5 times before I shut the TV off. I was unnerved at the power of temptation, especially since I've given my life to combat pornography. There's nobody safe from the temptations of the devil. He continues, I've had to come face to face with the Lord and plead for mercy. Lord, how is it possible? I began to lose confidence in my prayers. Then God reminded me, Jerry, I'm not surprised by your sin. I've known all along you were a sinner. I've known you were weak. I needed you to know that you were weak. And I need you to know that I alone will make you strong. And we'll get to that portion of the message. Victory over temptation. You're weak. There may be all kinds of areas you're strong. And the longest you've been saved, the more maturity is certainly manifested in your life as a Christian. And you say no to this, no to that when it's wrong, and yes to this, yes to that when it's right. Good. And you're a good, mature Christian. But you are not without the reach of the devil for temptation. Like there's no window in. There's no door in. And by the way, it's that door that you crack open, a little open. We're fooled into thinking, well, you know, if I'm so good in all this and all that, you know, surely God won't mind this little thing. That's the window. That's the door. The devil will kick wide open. The course of sin begins with the devil's temptation appealing to our lust, and then it progresses from there. It is a slow, ever so subtle progression. Remember how the devil, how the serpent came to Eve? That's God said. No, surely you're not going to die. It's slow, progressive. Most of us faced with a particular temptation will stand firm, strong as a Christian, say, no way. But it's the little things, the little door, left ajar. You've heard of how to boil a frog. Donald Hoke says, you know the old story of how to boil a frog. You don't put him in a pot of boiling water. You drop him in the boiling water and he'll jump out before he's injured. You put him in a pot of cold water and he's perfectly comfortable. Then you put him on the stove and little by little the water gets warm. It's very pleasant at first. Then it gets to jacuzzi level. And he begins to get a little alarmed. Finally, when it's boiling, it's too late. Christians are like that, Donald Hoke says, aren't we? We get into the world and it's, oh, so pleasant at first. Young people, listen to me. At first, it's pleasant, enticing. Mom and Dad would never let me, but I'm my own man now. I'm my own woman now. We get into the world and it's, oh, so pleasant at first. Then it gets a little warmer and it's pleasanter yet. And one day we realize the danger. This is going to kill me, and I haven't the strength to get out. There are people in this room who could give testimony after testimony of what they have gone through and the failures they've had in their life. God forgave, restored, and what a wonderful God we have.
But they'd all tell you, don't go down that path. Watch out for this temptation. Watch out for this temptation. The devil will have plenty before you, and it's in those areas where you're weakest. He wants you to fall. He wants to destroy you. It's the course of the devil, the course of temptation. James 1, 14 and 15 says this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, not of somebody else's lust. It's very specified. Devil's watched you all your life. And enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Temptation to lust, to sin, to death. The progression. The course of temptation. We see the same thing also back in Genesis. I'll give you three verses. Regarding Lot, Genesis 13:10 says, he lifted up his eyes. You recall that story that Abraham, his not uncle, they were both rich, they had much cattle, servants, and the servants started to strive one with the other at issues. Now, Abraham says, we better to depart. Let's part our ways. This will all be good, amicable, it'll be all fine. And he said, you pick. If you want to go down there or you want to go over there, whichever way you pick, I'll take the other one. That's what Abraham said. And the Bible says that he lifted up his eyes. You know what he saw? Some land well watered. You'd have thought he'd taken that beautiful scene that he saw, that nice fertile land, and said, oh, Uncle Abraham, you take that, and I'll head for the others. Oh, no. He lifted up his eyes, and he was enticed. He saw it. He wanted that. He forgot any respect for his elder. Two verses later, 13:12, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He pitched his tent. Wait a minute now. Sodom and Gomorrah. He's not living in Sodom. He's not in Gomorrah. He's not in those sin-sick cities. But he pitched his tent towards it. Get a little bit comfortable. And you'll find it by Genesis 19, verse 1. The Bible says he sat in the gate of Sodom. Sat in the gate. That's a reference to he was a man of importance in the city. You know, he wasn't the mayor. I don't know what it was, but sat in the gate of Sodom. Some years back, he never would have entertained that in his mind. But it was that slow progression. You know, then he got to jacuzzi level, and then he was in there. And we know the story afterwards. How he offered his daughters. Men of that city. That digression. He never would have contemplated that at one time. But see, I'm saved. I can't go that far. I know I've been in sin in the past before, but I'm saved now. Don't think that the devil isn't wiser than you. You need to be wise as serpents. Stay in his Bible. Because the Bible has told us he is the tempter. He is the core, the source of it. And he has a plan, a strategy, the course of temptation. So we've looked at the cause of temptation, the devil. We've looked at the course of temptation, the slow progressive appeals to our lust. And now we'll look at the conquest of temptation, how to get victory. Want to hear that? Yeah. Amen. It's in the book. This wonderful book. This blessed book. I was headed for hell, but this book. Amen? On the old TV show, Hee Haw, remember that one? I like this. Doc Campbell was confronted by a patient who said, Doc, I've broken my arm in two places. The doc quickly replied, well, stay out of them places. Good advice for the sinner. There's some places, some circumstances, some situations we just shouldn't be in. Don't go where you shouldn't go. You know where you shouldn't go. Don't go there. Just a drive-through. You don't belong there. We invite temptation when not where we are supposed to be. Isn't that what happened to David? King David. King, turn if you would, 2 Samuel 11 quickly. 2 Samuel 11. And we're reminded, God put these words on purpose, recorded for you and I. In 2 Samuel 11, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle,
What time is it? What was normal in this culture at that time? Kings would go to the battle. David always went to the battles. So where did he belong? Going to the battle. He didn't go. When kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. He shouldn't be there. Why? Because he's supposed to be with the men. And it came to pass in an eventide that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a young woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I'm with child. Uh-oh! Sin bringeth forth death. Trouble's coming. Let's believe that. Believe in the warnings that God gives us. Don't allow yourself to fall to the temptations. So is there victory? Can we get conquest over the temptation? Yes, we can. There's an old Danish proverb that says, no one can be caught in a place he doesn't visit. Well, there, for one thing, stay out of them places, Doc Campbell said. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. What does that mean? That narrows it down, doesn't it? It doesn't say just stay away from evil. We know that. Well, this ain't evil. I can go right up to this line. It's not evil. Avoid, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it may be construed. If you're that close to the line, people don't know if you're over the line. So you headed into a bar. People driving by. Is that good for your testimony? Say, but I'm not going to drink. Okay, maybe you weren't. Maybe you're going to have a Coke. Is that where you belong? Don't go there. Because it gives an appearance. You know what that all appearance of evil does? It's an added protection God gives you and me. Yeah, it's that buffer zone. You know, you don't cross the line if you're not near the line. It's when you're near the line, and by the way, the devil just taps you a little bit. It's all you need. Because you're wanting the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life towards sin, whatever it might be. You're leaning that way. Your flesh leans that way. And if you're near the line, you're going over. So don't get near the line. Abstain from all appearance of evil. The Bible says, Anonymous. Flee temptation and don't leave a forwarding address. Well, that's good. That's wise. In spite of our best efforts, we'll not be able to flee every temptation. The devil will see to that. How then do we combat temptation when we can't avoid it? How did Jesus combat the devil's temptation? With the Word of God. Let's take a few moments and read Matthew 14, chapter 4. We read earlier one of the verses that spoke of Matthew chapter 4 about the temptation. Let's read a few verses. Verse 1, then when Jesus was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungered, afterward hungered. And when the tempter, the devil, came to him, he said, thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, what did he do? He quoted the Bible, the Word of God. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Can I tell you something? Every word God wants you to hear is in this book. In order to live by this book, it'll protect you. Protect your marriage, protect your family, protect your church, your reputation. Be used of God as a clean vessel. That's what Jesus did. Notice verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, tempting. See, he is tempting him on the pride of life, his ego. If you're really that guy, go ahead, jump. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge. Yeah, yes, he's going to quote Scripture. The devil's going to quote Scripture. If he can twist it. And that's what he's doing. Verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8. Again, the devil taking them up to an exceeding high mountain and show them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The dead. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Because he passed the test. When you pass the test, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the blessings of God will come on you. And on your life and on your family. But notice three times, it is written, it is written, it is written. My friends, it is written. Everything you need to be successful. And to thwart the devil's temptations. To get victory, conquest over temptation. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. Isn't that great? Against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. You know what that means? I take this, and I put it in here and here. Memorize it. You have trouble with lying? Memorize a bunch of verses against lying. A bunch of verses that speak of honesty and truth. I've often referred to it as the Holy Spirit's toolbox. I'm telling you, it's real. You get a flat tire on the side of the road. Call the mechanic. He comes. He didn't bring an air pump, and he didn't bring an extra tire, and he didn't bring a wrench. All he brought was a hammer, and he brought some jumper cables. My battery's fine. I got a flat tire. Didn't have the right tools, did he? The Bible says the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God in your life. So when the temptation comes, the Holy Spirit's my need. And what tools have I equipped him with in my life? Those verses that speak to these temptations. So you fill up the Holy Spirit's toolbox in your life. You seek out those things. Do the time. Make the effort. Find those particular verses. Memorize them. Put them in the toolbox. And when the temptation comes, the Holy Spirit comes and helps you remember those verses. And all of a sudden, when normally you would have fallen, you say, thank you, God, for your word. I'm leaving that aside. Victory over that temptation. Give God glory for it. Fill that toolbox, man. Take the time. Search out those scriptures that speak to your life, your weaknesses. They're there. He provided everything we need. If no Bible, then no victory over temptation. You're dead meat. You're going to fall. George Mueller said this, it is a common error for Christians to give up the reading of the word and prayer when our enjoyment is gone, as if it were of no use to read the scriptures when we do no longer enjoy them at any particular time, and as if it were of no use to pray when we have no spirit of prayer. Well, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading the Bible. The truth is that in order to enjoy the word, we ought to continue to read it. And the way to obtain a spirit of prayer is to continue praying. The less we read the Word of God, the less we desire to read it. The less we pray, the less we desire prayer. Pray. And the devil smiles. Be a soldier, man. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay in the book. So the formula of victory over temptation is quite easily this. Keep your nose in the book. Keep your knees on the floor. Keep your feet in the church. And stay out of them places. I'll close with this story, this illustration. You know how that 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 speaks about that God provides a way of escape? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That's a great comforting verse. It says, I'll give you what you need when you need it. But if your toolbox is empty, you're on your own.
Dave Jackson writes this. Our train rolled into Kansas City at 1 a.m. Dim lights came on to help the new passengers find seats. Many of us who had been riding home through the night had spread out to occupy two seats apiece. An attractive woman made her way down the aisle with her bags. She was looking from side to side, hoping for someone to move. I turned towards the window and watched her in the reflection. "May I sit here?" she asked. "Sure." I looked up and smiled as I moved over. She threw her things into the rack above and sat down. Near the back of the car, only one of my colleagues had managed to keep his extra space. Lucky guy. "My name is Kathy. What's yours?" I told her, and we talked quietly for a while. She was on her way to visit her mother after some rough spats with her husband. I was eager to get home, see my wife and family after an exhausting church leadership conference. Soon we had both slipped off to sleep, and some later stop, I woke to find Kathy cuddled next to me. "You don't mind if I lean my head on your shoulder, do you?" she said sleepily. No, I guess not. I mean, after all, she was just tired, wasn't she? Besides, I had a wonderful wife and a great marriage and would be home before noon. I looked around to see if anyone was noticing. You know, if you're going to start to look around, something's wrong. It's the Spirit of God warning you. She cuddled closer. I wondered what she really wanted or would allow. At first, I couldn't believe what I was thinking. But then, it was her fault. She knew exactly what she was doing. I might as well enjoy it. After all, what could happen on a train full of people? Nothing. Nothing really, except what Jesus warned about happening in the heart. Finally, I excused myself, so I go back and talk with my friend. You know, the lucky one with the empty seat beside him? Well, maybe I was the lucky one, since that extra seat, that extra space was still available. I only knew that I didn't need to stay where I had been. Perhaps it wasn't luck at all. Maybe it was that God provided a way of escape. You know, our Heavenly Father looks after us. He cares. He wants you to succeed. Just like we want our kids to succeed. We don't want our kids to make decisions that they got to pay for. Sometimes the rest of their lives. Our Heavenly Father loves us with a love unbelievable. And He has given us such sound wisdom and instruction. Don't do this, son. Son, do this. Don't do this. Don't go there. Don't go near there. Go here. Do this. In the process of obedience comes the blessing of God. Well, my kids did that which was good and right. I wanted to bless them. Get in the car. Let's go get some ice cream. Your Heavenly Father wants to take you to ice cream. He wants to bless you. We need to be obedient. God's given us good instruction here about the cause of temptation, the course of temptation, and the conquest. Let's be conquerors. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We come to a time of invitation. But once again, we're given opportunity to talk with our God. And please, may I encourage you to do so. Altars be open. You can spend some time on your knees there or where you're at. But you know what the devil will tell you, that great tempter? He'll tell you, "Let's don't waste your time. Do it when you get home." You know, when you get by your bed, you can drop to your knees then. You can talk with God then. You don't need to do that now. He's lying to you again. There's no better time to talk with God than after hearing from heaven, hearing through the Word of God, His love, His instruction, His guidance. He wants to hear from you. What is your response to God this morning? What areas did He speak to you about? Maybe there's one particular that jumps out. Why don't you say thank you to Him this morning? Say, "Thank you, Lord, for identifying this in my life. And I've been letting it sneak in there. And I've just been so unaware. I've been like the frog in the water, Lord. Thank you for helping this morning. God, I'm going to commit some memory, some verses. I'm going to be in the Word of God. I'm going to find some verses that will equip that Holy Spirit to be very effective when I have a time of temptation." These next several minutes, as the music is playing softly, you're invited to spend time at the altar. Come on down. Spend some time with God. These next several minutes, you and God Almighty.